Well, welcome back to another season of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN as we get ready for week one of the high school football season here in 2018. And we'll take a look at eight area football games for you each week and make those picks. And we've got the usual suspects back with us once again here this year. Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, Jim Field, and myself, Chris Parks. Jim was our champion last year, 59-21, and well, we got to put an end to his little streak of reign he's got going on here. Three straight seasons.
How many was that?
Three.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
The last person that went three straight seasons, we kicked off. Huh? We let him back.
I went three straight seasons. I didn't get kicked off.
Well, we ended the streak. So
the last we're going time down. I see Mullinex on the sheet as the winner, that was 11 years ago.
Was that what year was that?
Wow.
Yep, 2008.
Wow.
You've got some work to do.
I do.
A lot of work to do. Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union back on board once again here with us this year for our Who's Going to Win program. And we'll get started with our first couple of games after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life, and then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's get started here for 2018, and we're going to start off with three different eight-man games, and here in this first segment, we'll talk about a couple of them, and that will start off with the Cam on the road at Bedford, and I guess we'll let last year's champion start us off here. Jim, what do you think? Who's going to win here?
Well, these are both teams coming off winning records last year. They Cam lost a lot of solid output last year. Not a lot of players, but a lot of their contributors disappeared. They've got Thomas Hensley and Nick Holstey they have to replace, and well, you know how good they were last year. But you know what? They have their second, third, and fourth best rushers coming back. They have their second, third, and fourth best receivers coming back. So it's not completely bare. If they can find someone to get the ball to them, they might have some success there. Now, I know Bedford also has their top two rushers coming back, and they do have some size on that ball club, too, after they went 5-4 last year. Normally after losing the kind of players Cam lost last year, I'd be a little nervous about this early on, but I know some of the kids there that they have coming back and the kind of determination they have. I'm kind of bullish on Cam yet this year, so I'm going to go with Cougars here on the road here in the first game.
All right, so Cougars over the Bulldogs for Jim. Matt, what do you think?
Well, yeah, they're going to end up playing the Hensley kid at quarterback this year. Different Hensley, Nick, I believe. But I think where they're going to see some improvement is they're going to have the likes of Mitchell Williamson and the Isaac Bauer back. And that's really going to help shore up their defensive side of the ball, I believe, with those two coming back off of injury last year, which is where Cam kind of slid toward the second half of the year. They hit some injuries and kind of struggled down the stretch there. So, but like Jim said, you know, Bedford's going to be awfully tough. They've got some good returnees, especially at the quarterback, running back spots in there. So it's going to be a tough ball game. I think it's going to take a couple games for Cam to fill in these missing pieces and going on the road. So with that being said, I'm going to go with the Bulldogs just based off of being a home game for them, Bedford.
All right. So that's one each way here so far. Doug.
Well, as Matt mentioned, the injury bug last year was huge for Cam. I mean, you got Williamson and Bauer
Bauer was a Red Oak transfer, right? Moving in from Red Oak, and good player there too. And then Preston Murphy, I think, was injured as well. And so that's a lot of talent that wasn't able to be on the field for, you know, for every game that they played. So I think they will be pretty salty. I'm going to take Cam on the road.
All right. That's another one for the Cam Cougars. And I'm going to go with the Cam Cougars as well. I like kind of what Jim said. Some of the returners that are back, you know, it's tough to replace a Thomas Hensley. He's such a big part of their athletic program overall. You know, he was second in the division in passing yardage last year, so obviously tough to replace a guy like that. But they do have those guys back in the backfield. I think you're going to see a little bit out of a very young player as well in Lane Speaker that might get some chances to run the ball out of the backfield too for Cam. So they've got some weapons. Bedford does return a little bit, but they did lose some on the defensive side of the ball as well. Their top three tacklers from last season are not back. So I think that gives Cam a good chance here in this opener. So I'll go with the Cougars. So that's three for Cam, one for Bedford, and we'll move on here to another eight-man matchup. This one has the team that's going to start out the season ranked number two in the Radio Iowa poll, Fremont Mills, going on the road to take on Exira EHK. And Matt's going to get first look at this one.
Well, this is going to be a good ball game just because you got two teams that have pretty rich in tradition over the last decade probably here, especially in the eight-man field. Coach Peterson, he's got a decent group coming back this year, so I think there's a little bit of excitement there right out of the gate. The positive for this game is it is at home for them. But I think Fremont Mills, like you said, they're ranked two. They've got a lot coming back. They're used to some of these tough road games on the road. You know, they've done it through the playoffs and so on and so forth. But I think you're going to see a very physical ball game as well. But I think there's just going to be a slight edge to Fremont Mills.
All right. That's one for the Knights. Doug?
Yeah, I was talking to Coach Peterson the other day, and you know, he mentioned their gauntlet. They're starting out with Fremont Mills, then at Sydney, who's a good squad, and then against Audubon too. So they've got three really tough games to start out the season. I know he'll have them prepared, and it's tough to win. They're in Exira, but Fremont Mills is tough, and I'm going to take them.
All right, that's two for the Knights. Fremont Mills. You know, they're one of the teams here in the area that actually brings back a lot of the firepower from last year. Mason Vinat at the quarterback spot threw for over 1,500 yards, rushed for over 1,000 yards, and then Jagger Powers is back as well to run the football out of the backfield. So they've got some good pieces. They had a pretty young squad, really, for a team that went 9-3 last year. They've got a good core back, so they're going to be a tough team. Exira EHK with some good returners. Josh Pettipier at quarterback. Cole Burmeister, it sounds like he might get a chance to get a few of those snaps under center as well. But they did lose a tough player. They only lost a couple of seniors, but one that was really important, I think, in Cole Madsen. He kind of brought a big toughness to them last year. I'm sure they'll find some other guys to fill that role. But this is a tough one to start out with. I'm going to go with Fremont Mills. Jim.
Fremont Mills. How did you refer to those two kids just a little bit ago, Powers and Vanetta, as good pieces?
Yeah.
Something like that? No, I prefer to call them huge threats.
Yeah.
Vanetta is one of the better players in eight man football this year. But Pettipier and Burmeister, you mentioned, they grew into their roles as the year went along last year. And I think probably Exira EHK is going to be maybe – it might be a little difficult, as Doug alluded to start out the season because they do have a pretty tough run to get going. But, you know, if they catch their wind, you just don't know. But Fremont Mills is going to win this game.
All right, that's FM across the board in that one. We'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back with one more eight-man game here in just a moment on who's going to win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me. until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we continue on with our picks here for week one. And we're going to get you another eight-man football contest. And, well, it's new to say that because both of these teams are new to eight-man football this year. Southeast Warren goes on the road to play Griswold. And, Doug, you get first look here.
Yeah, it should be interesting for Griswold to jump into that eight-man game. You know, traditionally a good running team, obviously, and few less players on the field, maybe a little more space to move things around. Could be interesting to see what kind of a scheme they come up with. So beyond that, don't know much about either team. But I'm going to take the Griswold Tigers at home.
All right. Going to go with Griswold at home in that eight-man opener there for the Tigers. This is two teams that did actually play last year, and they played in 11-man football, and it was a real close game. It was Griswold winning that game 28-20 last season. But the teams will be different this year, especially for Griswold. They did lose quite a bit. They had a pretty strong senior class leading them last year. And, of course, you know, they had trouble getting it show up record-wise, but they did have a lot of strong leaders out there. And Sean Swain, Jaden Jonke, Heath Ogg, Chance Mace, those are all big pieces that they lost from last year's team. And Southeast Warren does return a little bit. They returned their quarterback and their top running back as well. And also on the defensive side of the ball, they've got a couple of their top tacklers back. So I think that gives them a little bit of an edge. They're also making that transition. So I think when you have some of that returning firepower, and, of course, then you're shrinking the number of guys on the field, that probably helps you a little bit. So I'm going to give the edge here to Southeast Warren in this one in the opener. Jim.
Yeah, I'd like to think it just builds your depth so much and gives you opportunity that way too, a new opportunity for them. Griswold depends so much on a solid defense and a good ground game. They do a lot of misdirection and running a whole bunch of guys at you, guess which one has the ball kind of a thing. But they lost three of their top four rushers from last year. They got a lot of building to do there, and I just don't see that happening real early in the season. I'm going to go with Southeast Warren in this one. I just think they have a little bit more experience coming back, a little more seasoning.
All right. That's two there for Southeast Warren. Matt?
Well, as these two teams make their transition from 11-man to 8-man, the other factor comes in is which coaching staff is adept to that change, you know, who's – because it is a little bit different in what you can do and cannot do on the field. So, you know, which one of the staffs is going to make that adjustment and have a good understanding of the game as it goes along. And, you know, we've seen Griswold over the past couple of years. They've had a decent group, but they just haven't had the numbers. And so they've had to, you know, forfeit some games and so on because of injuries. So they've had a good group in there. And I think just with the loss of that good group, just like what Jim said, and with what Southeast Warren has coming back, I think that those are going to come into play. You know, I think as the season moves on, Griswold's going to gain some momentum and get it together. But I think right out of the gate, I'm going to have to go with Southeast Warren on this one.
All right, so we're going to leave Doug out there on a limb on that one. Move on now to a Class A matchup, and this is Tri-Center going on the road to take on Riverside. And I guess I get first look here at this one. Two teams that both went 2-7 last year. They both returned their quarterbacks, Tri-Center and Bryson Freeburg, and for Riverside, Val Andrew Shishin. Big change for Riverside, Daryl Frayne coming into the fold now to be their head coach and their activities director over there for the Bulldogs. So I'm sure he's excited to try to get a change made there at Riverside. And they've got some decent numbers back. They did win the game last year against Tri-Center, 32-25. I got to imagine Tri-Center is going to bounce back. They always have a, you know, proud tradition there of being a tough football team. But I do like the pieces that Riverside has coming back to work with. And I think Coach Frayne will maybe instill a little bit different attitude there. So I'm going to give the slight edge here to the home team. I'm going to go with Riverside. Jim.
Yeah, I'm with you. Ben Sorensen's going to leave a big hole there for them to fill with his graduation. And I just think they have some weapons, offensive weapons. If they could just find the right pieces to block and make tackles and things. I think they have a few of the skilled players that can get things done for Riverside. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Bulldogs at home.
All right, it's two for Riverside. Matt?
Okay. Well, not only does Riverside have a new coach, but Tri-Center also has a new coach coming in this year as well. And Tri-Center also has more numbers out than what they had last year. They've got they had, I think, four juniors last year. Well, this year they have 11 seniors, so they got quite a few more to come out in that senior group. And I think a couple of them, from what I've read and have seen, are good leaders that need to be out. And so I think you're going to see that as a big change for Tri-Center, because they just know how to win on some of those levels. So I think Tri-Center gets a little revenge on Riverside from last year's loss, and it's going to be on the road. But I'm going to go with the Tri-Center Trojans this week.
All right. It's one for Tri-Center. Doug?
Yes, an interesting comment you made, Matt, about the added numbers. You know, if you added four kids or seven kids from a class, you know, that didn't go out last year and coming out this year, maybe there's some excitement about that, you know, the program or the change in coaching or whatever it is over there. I do like Coach Frayne is, you know, traditionally had a lot of success, obviously, on the wrestling mat and with his teams, and, you know, certainly would know how to instill toughness in because of that, too. So, you know, just because it's at home, I'm going to go with Riverside.
All right. So that's Tri-Center, a limb pick there for Matt on that one. We'll go to a Class A-1A matchup now as AHSTW will go on the road to take on Underwood as the Vikings make a transition down one class here this year. And, Jim, you'll get first look here.
Yeah, I think the only downside in this game for AHSTW is they have to go on the road. Other than that, I think it's all upside. R.J. Harris, that's a lot to fill there, too, but Gabe Pauly's still hanging around. They've got some other guys that have some pretty good size on that football team. They got a whole lot of success and a coach that knows how to prepare kids to win. So I like AHSTW in this one.
All right, that's one for the Vikings. Matt?
Yeah, even though AHSTW, their numbers are down quite significantly in what they had on the roster from a year ago. So they did lose quite a bit out of that class. But like Jim said, you've got Mr. Pauly in the backfield there, and he's going to be awfully, awfully tough to bring down. Doesn't matter if he's run the ball up the middle or around the outside. He's going to be very tough. And then he's going to be that leader on the defense, too, and the kids kind of gravitate towards that. So he's a very positive kid out there on the field, and the kids look up to him. So I think you're going to see a good season, even though with the lower numbers, good season from HSTW. And it's going to be tough in that Class A district that they're in down the road. So it'll be important for them to jump out on Underwood here.
All right, that's two for the Vikings. Doug?
Yeah, I was reading an article about the Vikings with their schedule and their new class or their new district that they're in this year, and something about referencing needing a map to figure out where everybody was. But had a chance to see Atlantic scrimmage against AHSTW a couple weeks ago, and was definitely impressed by their physicality, and certainly with Gabe Pauly. He just has a presence out there. If you're running the ball, you certainly want to know where he is on the other side of the line on defense, and vice versa. So I'm going to take him on the road.
All right, that's three for AHSTW. They will start off the season ranked in the Radio Iowa poll, number 9 there in Class A, as they move down from that 1A class from last year. And, yeah, you mentioned Gabe Pauly, over 1,000 yards last year. He's a great leader out there for him. Underwood, they do return a little bit. They did lose one of their top running backs in Hunter Gearing. They've got Jalen Humphrey back this year, who's kind of a do-it-all guy out there. They went 2-7 last year, though, and kind of struggled, and I think they're going to struggle against a good AHSTW team here in Week 1. So I'm going to go with the Vikings as well and make it a sweep. We've got one more game here before we take another break, and this is also a Class A 1A matchup, as IKM Manning will go on the road to take on ACGC. And this will be Matt's look at this one.
Okay. Well, you've got ACGC, Derek Casey, Guthrie Center. They have a new coach on their sideline this year. Cody Mathewson?
Yeah, yep.
Cody played over at Madrid. He's a Madrid grad, and then went on and had a decent career at Northwest Missouri State down there for the Bearcats. And he's a good kid. really has emphasized a lot of teamwork with the athletes coming back, because has been in the weight room with them all summer. So I think you're definitely going to see an improvement from that program. But as you know, always know, sometimes those things just don't happen overnight. It takes a little bit of time. And they're going up against an IK Manning that obviously has had a lot of good teams over the past few years. So with that being said, I think I'm going to go with IK Manning this first one.
All right. So that's one there for the Wolves. Doug?
I got to go with the Wolves as well. As Matt said, ACGC, they've – those two programs historically and then coming together, struggled a little bit last year. But I think, on the right track, but it might be a season or two away still for them.
All right. That's a couple there for the Wolves. I'm going to add another one. They do bring back a pretty strong few pieces. They did lose a little bit from last year's team. They lost their quarterback in Jared Johnson. But they do bring back Stephen Grimm at the running back spot. He went over 1,000 yards and scored 18 touchdowns last year, and they always just seem to have that, toughness instilled in them each year out. They're always a team that you mark on the schedule. You know it's going to be a tough game no matter what. They start off the year ranked number 5 in Class A there in the Radio Iowa poll. And ACGC, I had a chance to talk with Coach Mathewson after he got the job. Does seem like a guy that, is really excited about it, and I think he's going to change the culture of what's going on there at ACGC a little bit. But like you said, it might take a little while. So I like the Wolves here in week one. Jim?
Okay, very good. Yeah, I seem to remember he was a fullback when he was at Madrid.
He's a tall guy.
We saw them. You were working with me, I think, at the time, weren't you? Doing football games back then? Because they played AHST. Well, it was AHST back then, but they played them, like, I think 3 or 4 years in a row. Couple times in the playoffs, and they got to playing in the playoffs. They decided, well, let's just make it a regular season game too, and it was a good rivalry at that time. Yeah. They really kind of, because they both kind of played the same kind of physical at the line of scrimmage football. So yeah, that's a good tough kid to bring into a program to lead. But my only notes I have here about ACGC from last year to this year is that last year they didn't have much firepower, and it's gone. So, and they do have their top rusher back up at IKM, Manning and Grimm. So, yeah, I don't see ACGC getting this first one, so I'm going to go with the Wolves.
All right, it's IKM Manning across the board. We've got a couple of games left to pick, and we'll do that after the break.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life, and then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win as we continue on with week one picks. We've got a couple of games left to pick, and we're actually going to go to a class higher before we go to a class lower for a change here for once. As we start off with a class 3A game, it's Denison Schleswig going on the road at Harlan to open up the season. And Doug, you get first crack here at this one.
Yeah, so with all the new scheduling and everything, it'll be interesting for Denison playing in that northern district now. I think they've got Helin and those other the teams that are
Sergeant Bluff,
yeah, Lamar's maybe. So kind of a different group of teams for them to play. Still having this rivalry or this game against Harlan that they played so often, and had some success over the years. I just think Harlan, in reading about their the preseason preview, they have quite a bit of talent returning. I know they lost Nick Foss. He's a stud for them, obviously, but they have 9 returning guys on defense and 8 on offense or something. Gave up 0 points in the third quarter last year for the whole season. I think their defense is going to be salty. And they, you know, they've still got some big kids, and I think 62 kids on the varsity roster. So that's they've got a good team. I'm going to take Harlan at home.
All right, that's one there for Harlan. Yeah, a team that went 10-2 last year, all the way to the semifinals. And you mentioned they lose Nick Foss, which is tough to replace, and they lose their quarterback as well, and Darren Schmitz. But with all those other pieces around, you can probably figure out some other guys to hand the ball off to make some things happen offensively. And on the other side, for Denison Schleswig, they lost just a ton from last year's team. Their offense is pretty much decimated from last year, so they're starting back from scratch. So I give the edge here to Harlan at home for sure in this one. Jim?
Edge.
Yeah, big edge.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's more than an edge. yeah, Harlan lost some key players. Nick Foss, no one can overcome that. He was solid. But if anybody, any team, any program can fill pieces and replace parts, they seem to be the one that's able to do it. The only thing that scares me about this game at all is the last few years, Harlan's kind of tended to stumble a little bit early in the season, it seems, and with the changes that they have to make, Foss has been, they're starting running back for 3 years. I think they haven't had to worry about that for a while. But I think they'll fill in the parts, and I think they'll get things taken care of. And, yeah, Denison's got a whole lot of places to fill some spots. So I like Harlan.
All right, three for the Cyclones. Matt?
Yeah, with Denison having to fill a lot of spots, but the one thing they have done up there the last few years is they've gotten a lot of numbers out. And so they've kind of, you know, built that program up to where they're, you know, they've had some consistency in there, especially toughness. That's the one thing I noticed the last few years whenever Atlantic was playing, and was that there was definitely toughness, very physical with other teams, weren't going to back down. So you're definitely going to see that aspect of the game for Denison, and sometimes that can help make up for some of those missing parts that they're trying to place in there. But you know, when he said the returners that are coming back on offense and defense for Harlan, I'm surprised at those coming back. And one of the things they did shore up last year was the defense. So if there's 8 or 9 guys coming back on there, then, you know, they're still going to be pretty salty in there. The other thing, too, is with Harlan, you know, with the starting quarterback Schmitz being hurt for part of the season, that did allow that backup to get plenty of varsity time. So, you know, he'll be able to step right in there. It's not like he's lacking any experience in there. So, but yeah, replacing Foss is going to be tough. And, you know, whenever they needed something, they kind of went to him, whether it was a run or a little screen pass or sending him down the sideline on a little slip pattern. They're going to miss that. Definitely going to miss that. But I think they just do have enough pieces coming back that they'll get by Denison, so I'll go with Harlan as well.
All right, that's a sweep for the Cyclones.
One other note about Harlan, Coach Blatt's 41st year, I read, but also new uniforms. Apparently for the first time in 25 years, Coach Blatt thought it was time.
Wow. Oh, nice.
Yeah, different uniforms for the Cyclones.
Dipped into the coffers, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Moldy money is just coming out.
All right, we've got one more game to pick here. And as I mentioned, we're going to go down a class now because Atlantic drops into Class 2A here this year with the new restructuring of all the classes here. We had, of course, a lot of teams we talked about that had changes in that regard here this season, and Atlantic is one of them. They'll play in 2A, and they're going to start off with a 2A opponent here in Sadel as they go on the road. And I get to first look here at this one. And, yeah, it's going to be an interesting season here for the Trojans. You know, they lose a couple of key pieces from last year's team. Obviously, I think the guy you're going to miss the most is John McConkie. He was just a force on the line both ways. And you have a guy like that that can disturb things. That certainly makes life a lot easier for the guys around him. But they'll try to find a way to plug that hole. And I think what's nice for Atlantic is they do have a lot of guys, as far as the skill positions go, that are back that can do some damage. Chase Molinek's going to slide into that quarterback spot, and we know that he has the ability to run. And we'll get to look to see how well he starts off with a pass here early in the season. Logan Riley was a good target last year at times, had some big games. He'll be counted on to do a little bit more this year. You've got guys like Tyler Moen. Connor Pellett will see larger roles as well. So I think they've got the pieces there to get something figured out on offense. It might take a little while to feel like they're real gelled, but this is going to be a good game, I think, to start off with. They play a Sadel team that was 4-5 last year. they lost quite a bit from their team last year as well. They lost their quarterback and their top running back, and they return a little bit of size, it looked like, when I looked up and down the roster. They might have some guys up front that'll be all right, but I think Atlantic's got the right pieces to get by this Sadell team, even though it's a new challenge. I'm going to go with Atlantic. Jim?
Okay, very good. Yeah, looking at Sadell, looking down the roster, sophomore Nick Gooden is the only person on their roster that completed a pass last year. A pass last year. He was one for two. Yeah, so that's going to take some work to come back from that. Atlantic doesn't have a lot of size. I'm going to give John McConkey a giant compliment here. The thing is, the positions he played, you know, if you're talking skill players, a wide receiver that's got a lot of speed or this or, you know, quarterback, whatever, you know, sometimes you know, you've got to have that one guy who can fill in. But a guy like McConkey, you can do it with a couple of guys, you know, the positions that he played. If guys scheme appropriately and they follow what they need to do and flow to the ball, two guys can take up the space of the one. So, you know, it's big compliment that two guys may have to take his spot. But, you know, I like the idea of moving Chase Mullinex to quarterback. You know, Chase comes from good stock. His mom was a heck of an athlete.
Grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a lot of size for the Trojans this year, but a lot of speed. And I think dropping down to that 2A class, I think the speed can really do them a favor. And I don't know, I kind of like the Trojans getting off to a good start here on the road. I think this is a good ball game for them to get started with. So I'm taking Atlantic.
Two for the Trojans. Matt?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jim.
What, that his mom was a pretty good athlete?
As soon as I said that, that was coming out. Yes, absolutely, on that part. Now I lost everything. It's done. But Sadell did lose quite a bit on their offensive side of the ball. And I think they're a team that kind of relied on the run game. So them, as far as replacing some of those pieces for them, is going to be tough to do in there for them. But the drop down in class is what I was going at there. I think it comes at a right time. Kind of like Coach McDermott said, you know, well, it's positive in one aspect that might help us be a little more competitive. But the negative is that, well, it says that our community's, you know, seeing a little bit of decline in there. But it is what it is, and the kids are going to capitalize on that. So I think look for the offense. You know, we've talked about the offense and all the weapons that they do have. I think that's going to be interesting and fun to see. I think my concern is probably the defensive side. I think there's a lot of components on the defensive side that had to be filled when you start talking about losing John up front and McConkey and our ends, Podaisky in there, mm-hmm. and going on down the list, the defensive backs and Sontag and Gratt back there. And so there's just a lot of components that are being filled by upperclassmen, but the upperclassmen weren't out there with the varsity experience. So that's going to take some time in there. So the defense gets shored up, and but the schedule, I think, lays out pretty nicely for that to happen. And in these preseason games, if you will, these first four games, you know, count in one aspect of it. But if you can run the table in your district, then it really doesn't matter. So so I think we'll see, you know, some good ball out there. And the kids are excited. Kids are definitely excited, I think. So that's what matters. So going with the Trojans on the road.
All right, that's three for the Trojans. Doug?
Yeah, you know, good big shout-out to the seniors that graduated from last year. I mean, there were, as Matt and Jim both mentioned about those guys. I mean, I think before the season, you know, if you had said they'd been 4-5 last year, I think we would have been pretty happy with that, with the success Atlantic's had the last several years. And hopefully that's something, again, moving down to 2A, maybe getting a little, you know, teams that have more comparable numbers as far as kids out on the roster and everything, you know, we can continue and have a winning season this year and build a little momentum. And, you know, with maybe having some bigger classes coming up, maybe we'll go back up to 3A, whatever, doesn't matter. I do think the skill positions for Atlantic are going to be salty. Another name that hasn't been mentioned yet was Zade Nicholson. Zade has got a lot of speed and certainly could break a run or two there. I like that. The offensive line needs to make sure, you know, it's pretty new and, you know, we're pretty thin at line, I think. Need to avoid the injuries. But, you know, it's always fun to replace kids. You know, that's what good teams do, is they have upperclassmen playing, and then they let the younger kids fill in. So hopefully that's what these kids are going to do too. I'm going to take Atlantic on the road.
All right, that's the Trojans across the board, and it's been fun to see the upward trajectory of where Atlantic has been going the last couple of years. They've made some progress.
Well, and it's a team that went 5-4 last year in Class 3A. We've been 3A forever. We have 3A mentality. We have 3A athletes out there, so having to play 2A, those kids don't care. They just know that they're what they are, and they've been out competing with these what are now a little bit larger schools than them, and they've been competing well. So it doesn't matter to them. They're just going to go out and play football.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see how it goes, and we're going to have that game for you here tonight on the radio, as we'll get you that Atlantic at Sadel contest here with our pregame coming up here in just a moment, and then get you kickoff, and we'll have it here for you on the air, online, also on the mobile app, and if you're not able to make it out to the game, we'll be streaming the game live as well through our Facebook page. You go to KJN AM 1220. That's where the stream will be available for you here this season, so we look forward to that coverage. Thanks for joining us here for week one of Who's Going to Win. Gentlemen, thank you. Appreciate it. Good start. Ag Business Associates, Nishna Valley Credit Union, bringing you Who's Going to Win. And we thank you for joining us here on week one.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life, and then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.